Happy Sabbath, church. Isn't it good to serve a miracle-working God? A God who can change, who can heal, and restore from our brokenness. This morning, I want to start with a confession, a personal confession, if I can. In my home, I am known to put things back where they don't belong. I've done it forever. I've caught myself. I come back to my house, and I'm like, how did that get there? Well, I'm the only one who used whatever that is that morning. My wife, Vanessa, will send me a picture of the orange juice in the pantry or an appliance where it doesn't belong. In fact, this week, we went through, mostly Vanessa, went through our kitchen and just cleaned everything out. It's summer, it was a good time to do it, and she made sure to tell me, small appliances are in this cabinet. This goes here, this goes there. I can't tell you everything, what she told me. I probably couldn't tell you where everything goes now. But I'm notorious for doing that, and I'm not the only person, though, in the house that does it. When Adeline was little, she also would misplace things, like the hardest thing to ever find if it gets lost, and that's the Apple TV remote. If you have one, you know those things get lost all the time. They slide in the couch, they get tossed in place. You just don't know. We've tried to attach it to something bigger. It doesn't work. Somehow it gets detached, and half the time the remote doesn't even work. And so Adeline, she would, for some reason, that would go in the trash. And so I knew that if we needed to find the remote, I would look in the trash. It's probably where it was. And Isla, if you've seen her, she's now 4 years old. She actually, we have found out that if we sleep a little bit later, she's hungry, so she'll get up and make her own breakfast. So we'll know this because I'll come out and she's probably just sitting there eating her waffle, and things are just all over the place. Things are misplaced, but she has figured out how to make her own breakfast. But we'll find an empty box somewhere where it doesn't belong, and it's just her intentions are good. It's just sometimes she'll try and put things back, and they will also be misplaced. So it's not like our intentions are bad. It's just sometimes we don't put things back where they belong. We're continuing this series, and Pastor Matt started it, talking about being kingdom-minded. What does it look like to be kingdom-minded? Well, there's no better place than to look at the life of Jesus, because after all, when Jesus started his ministry, his whole purpose, his drive was for us to learn what it means to be kingdom-minded, what it is to have those values. What are the things we should treasure? And if we look at the life of Jesus, we see the way he lived his life. His actions showed what he valued. We're going to go into what exactly that was a little bit later. Today, as a kingdom-minded community, what are the things that we value? And where are we choosing to store the things that we consider our treasures? And does that align with God's will for us? If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19. If you've read the book of Matthew, you know there's a very popular part of this book, and we'll go into that a little bit later, but it's the Beatitudes. Fast forwarding a little bit, we're going to be in verse 19. And this talks a little bit about, Jesus talks a little bit about what are the things that we choose to call treasure and where we are called to store them. In other words, what do we choose to prioritize in our life? Verse 19 says this, "Do not store up your treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your what? Your heart will also be. Verse 19 is commanding us not to store up our treasures on earth. What does that look like? What Jesus is addressing here is not is the what and the where, because both matter and both must align. There are certain things that we are called to treasure and certain things we are not. And we're also called to put those not in the earth, but store our treasures in heaven. By saying store your treasures in heaven, he's also saying be careful what you choose to call a treasure, because what you choose to call a treasure may not belong in my kingdom. They must go hand in hand. We're going to do a little activity for the introverts. I'm apologizing in advance, but it'll be over quick. The pain will be over quickly, I promise. I want you to, maybe you came with someone or maybe there's someone next to you, take this opportunity to maybe introduce yourself or if you know them. But I want you to tell that person next to you, what are two or three things that you value the most in your life? Go. All right, I hope you got to share a little bit of those with the people you came with or maybe someone you met. I have a follow-up question that we're not going to answer with one another, but I want you to think about this one. Here's the question. The first question was, what are the things that you value most? The second, what are the two or three things that take up most of the time in your day? And do those things align? Do the things that you value, that you say you value, match up with what you do with in your day? In other words, do your words match up to the actions that you do? A kingdom-minded person strives to have both of those answers in alignment with one another. At the very least, we strive towards making sure that the things that we say we value, we actually show with our actions. Jesus, the reason why his teachings were so powerful is because what he preached, he also lived out day to day. There was something about Jesus when he would walk and he would engage with others and he would bring healing and he would teach. There was something about the way he lived his life that people wanted to be a part of. Ellen White says that Jesus' greatest ministry was what he did for others, went beyond the words that he was speaking. So do the things you say you value match up with your actions in your daily life? A kingdom-minded person strives to choose to act on the things that they value to keep close to their hearts. Outlined in Matthew 6 is what Jesus holds in high value. It's clearly defined that there are things that do not belong in the kingdom of Jesus, and there are things that do. And those are the things we are supposed to treasure and store in the kingdom of heaven. We know from this passage what are those things, what does and doesn't belong. And you would think that it would be enough for us just to read those things and know, okay, well, these are the things that I need to strive for and hold close as value. And Jesus isn't talking about an issue. Jesus is talking about an issue that had existed in the ancient world. Today, we talk about wealth and value in terms of what we have in our bank account, the things that we store in a savings. We keep our value in our treasures and stocks and in bonds and real estate and cryptocurrency and CDs, all those things. That is where we hold our treasures. But we're talking about a time where people only the rich people had access to a bank account. Back in the time of Jesus, there wasn't these other things where we could hold and store their treasures. But wealth was looked differently, and it was shown differently back then. Back then, you had your wealth in grains and fancy clothes and like precious golds and metals. Those were the things that held value. This isn't a command that Jesus is saying just to sell everything and live in poverty. Jesus never glorified poverty. In fact, that's where he spent most of his time, is those who were not wealthy, with the poor, with those who were struggling. Jesus spent most of his time with sharing the gospel. And hear me on this, by no means are we preaching a prosperity gospel. It's not wrong for us to possess things, but it is wrong to possess things that possess us. One author says this: if the heart loves material things and puts earthly gain above heavenly investments, then the result can only be a tragic loss. The treasures of earth may be used for God. They can be used for good. But if we gather material things for ourselves, we will lose them. Things will grow sour, and we will lose our hearts with them. Instead of spiritual enrichment, we will experience spiritual impoverishment. It's not bad to have wealth. It's not bad to have these treasures on earth. But when we keep them to ourselves, we will lose our souls with it. A kingdom-minded person sees generosity as a form of worship. So what are heavenly treasures? I'm sure that you could name a few, but in this last chapter, we see what are the things that Jesus sees as heavenly treasures. And it's found in the Beatitudes. It says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." Jesus is saying, blessed are those who seek my kingdom. Blessed are those are the people that I value. Those are the things that we must strive for. To be pure in heart, to be peacemakers, to share the gospel in the midst of persecution. And here it is in verse 12. It says, "Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So this idea is defined in chapter 6, and this is how we should act, and therefore where our treasures should be. So what treasures do you hold in high regard? What are the things that you value, and do they align with those of Jesus? And when we have those things, whether it's wealth, the things that we value, what are we doing with those gifts? Are we keeping them to ourselves? I would say that Jesus valued people. He was clear about that. The Beatitude is all about dealing with people, how we treat the people around us. Do you handle conflict with people with a mindset of the kingdom? Do you handle conflict with people as if they are your treasure or your trash? The way you handle conflict says a lot about how you value humanity. How we engage with one another on social media, on Facebook posts, the way we respond to people says a lot about how we see that individual. Jesus' emphasis here is on where we put these treasures and how they are to be utilized. He says we are to store these up in heaven where no moss or vermins can destroy them. But in order for us to store our treasures in heaven, those things have to be in favor with what God wants for us. Because there are certain things that will not belong in the kingdom of heaven. So what do we do with the abundance of blessings that God has given us? What do you do with those blessings that God has given you? If we keep reading in Matthew, going on through verse 40, he says, "The king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of these brothers and sisters, you have also done for me.'" This is where we are to put our treasures, in the least of these. We are called to share that gospel, to live the gospel to the least of these. God has given us gifts and treasures, and there is value that we hold. Are we putting those into the people around us? Are we investing in the people of God, in those who need it the most? Or are we keeping it to ourselves, where vermin and moss can destroy it? God has given this church treasures, gifts. He's filled this church with people who have talents. But man, we are good at doing the opposite and keeping it to ourselves. We talk about how we can enhance our own experience while neglecting those who are suffering. One could also make the argument that what we is being referred to in this text here are the things that we hold in high regard that do not glorify God, and therefore we make idols of. We ourselves are treasures of God. The choice remains up to us where we choose to rest in. Do we choose to rest in the bondage of the world or in the presence of God? Our actions will define the outcome. Who are you giving your life to? Are you just living for the time that you exist in, or are you living for something much greater, for the kingdom of heaven? A kingdom-minded person lives for the kingdom of heaven and not for their present situation. Who are you giving your life to? Are you living just for the time that you exist in this world, or for something greater? We then get back to Scripture in Matthew 6, and then he begins talking about the parts of the body. And he talks about the eye, and he says, "The eye is a lamp of the body. If your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be, if your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, it will be full of darkness." And what follows is a direct address about how we are called to worry about. And he says, "Do not worry." And he says, "Why do you worry about these things?" In other words, why are you worrying about the things that do not matter? And boy, the devil has a good way of making us focus on things that don't even matter. He's been doing it in the church for years, focusing on issues and arguing back and forth and debating with one another while people are suffering. We're worried about winning an argument. That isn't salvific at all. Worrying about the things and obsessing over the material things that don't even matter. We hone in and we focus on things that take us away from God. We're anxious on things that we can't really even control. drawing our gaze away from what's important and focusing on things that live rent-free in our minds. We've allowed this to happen in our own life and in our communities, distracting us from what our mission is, living the gospel of Jesus and sharing that gospel to others. We can fixate on an issue that doesn't matter while missing the opportunity to share the gospel with our community. I'll be the first to tell you, I worry about everything. I'm guilty of it. And in those moments where God is saying, hey, I got this, still, it's hard. It's easier said than done to not worry about things. But God says, do not worry. Do not be anxious. Focus on the treasures that I have given you. What are those treasures? Well, for me, it's my family. Focus on being a good father, a good husband, on your community, being a good pastor, a good friend, the person who needs prayer, being a disciple maker, doing my part in what God has called me to do, investing my time and valuing what God values. What Jesus is saying here is, if you occupy your life with the things that you acknowledge you can't control but can only contribute to, you come to a place where you know you don't need to worry about it because only God can really create change in the things that matter. Only God can restore a marriage. Only God can answer your prayer. Only God can heal. Only God can save that person that you're trying to invite to church. Only God can rid you of your anxiety and your depression. Only God. So there is no need to worry if our focus is on the right things. What are you valuing? What are you investing in? What are your treasures? This idea of light and darkness, it's a direct point that we are called to have a single-minded dedication. This is what one commentator calls it. Idea of light is to be solely focused on one thing. Single-minded dedication. Our focus should be on one thing in everything we do. Everything we believe and support should all point to the one single thing that matters. That is Jesus. It should all be that the only thing that matters. No earthly possessions or treasures should overcome that one thing. Light, single-minded dedication should be our treasure, should be our value, and should be in line with what Jesus taught while he was here. So what he's saying here is that if the eye is evil, then so is the entire body. In this context, an eye that is evil will hoard earthly treasures for our own benefit instead of using it to help others. If we value putting Jesus and his children before ourselves, we begin to establish a kingdom mindset. So here's the thing. We can't give freely of ourselves if we love the things of the world more than we do our Creator. For those of you who say, well, I'm not wealthy, so this doesn't apply to me. You can be selfish with a lot of other things more than just money. You can be selfish with your time. You can be selfish with your spiritual gifts. You can be selfish with your love and only invest in the people that you can benefit from. There are a lot of things that you can hold and hoard. Maybe you don't have a lot of money, but you sure do have an influence on people around you. And you can be selfish with that too. What this all comes down to is, as a kingdom-minded people, we're supposed to live and care for others. That is where we are to find our value and our treasure, is in people. Jesus was clear that he was here for one purpose. And that was for us, for his people, for his children. That was his treasure, that was his value, that was the sacrifice, was for us. And we are called to do the same. This all comes down to one word, and it's obedience. We are called to live in obedience, meaning responding to God's will for your life. It isn't simply enough to not do the wrong things, and so many times we get caught in this space where we say, well, I'm fine because I've chosen not to do these bad things. Well, instead, what are you doing? This is known as the sin of neglect. When we don't do what God is calling us to do, we simply stay in a state of being stagnant, simply abstaining from sin and abstaining from the things that we are called not to do is not enough. We are called to do more and move forward in the other direction. If we value earthly possessions over eternal ones, we value the opinion of others more than we do the opinion of God. Again, make no mistake, there are possessions and positions that have no place in heaven. There are things that we could list that are earthly values, and there are things that we could list that are heavenly values. For instance, an earthly possession is politics. A heavenly possession is people. The moment we let our political place overtake the people we love, we have now put our treasure in the world. Jesus is saying here that living a life seeking to be a disciple of Jesus will not always lead to wealth, but in doing so, it will be storing your treasure in a place where it is safe, in His kingdom. Going back to this idea of single-minded dedication, a while ago I remember the eclipse that happened. It was in the middle of the day, and there was this, like, need, and everyone wanted these glasses that you were told, don't look up because you're going to go blind. So throughout that day, everyone's kind of walking around like looking at the ground. And I remember you had to have those glasses. You can buy them on Amazon, and afterwards they were like all over the place. But you needed these glasses to see what was actually happening. There was no way that you could look up and actually see the eclipse. And I remember putting them on, and I was inside and I couldn't see anything at all. So I put them on, I walked outside, and still the only thing that I could see was this miracle, this solar eclipse. I remember thinking to myself, man, I wish we had these kinds of sunglasses when it came to how we were supposed to live like Jesus, how we're supposed to have a single focus. What is it that we could have that would allow us to just focus on one single thing? Fact is, we do. It's called the Word of God. The Word of God teaches us what's important, what's of value. It gives us that single-minded dedication to Jesus. Everything in this book focuses and points towards Him. We are accustomed to dividing our life into the spiritual and the material when those things should align. Our words should match up with our actions. Putting people first will not always bring you earthly profit. Are you okay with that? Love others before anything else in our life, because that was the heartbeat of Jesus. If you can't set aside what you believe for the sake of just loving and treating others with love, then your allegiance is not found in Jesus. Found in that thing. One of these has to be first, so which one is it for us? I'm here to tell you that the honest truth that one will suffer. We cannot serve two masters. Our actions will dictate what our treasures are and where we choose to store them. My prayer is that we choose to treasure the people of God. May we have a kingdom mindset that loves first before anything else, just as Jesus loved us first. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You. We thank You that You chose us, that You chose to value humanity. For You, we'd be lost. We'd be broken. But You came and You saved us. With Your actions, You show that we are Your treasure. Lord, may we apply that to our lives With our actions, may we show that we love. As a church, may we show that we value humanity. We value others. May we invest in the things you invested in. Lord, we thank you that you are a merciful God and that we can put our trust, our hope in you. And may our treasures be found in your kingdom. In your name we pray. Amen.